Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will be looking today at the Old Testament reading in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after these days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. New and improved. I'm sure we've seen that in big, maybe even huge letters on some products we use. And, well, often it's things we would normally use anyway. But, so, who cares? Why bother with changing things? Why do we need something new? And, to the point, why a new covenant? Before we go any further, we need to understand a little bit more about about covenants, because this wasn't the first covenant God had made with man. He had made a covenant with Noah that he would not destroy the earth with water again. He had made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would be the source of a family, a great nation. But this one. This covenant was with the children of Israel after they had left Egypt. This one was a covenant with the whole people. A covenant is an agreement. It's a promise. A solemn binding promise. You do your part, I'll do mine. Usually with a stipulation attached. The stipulation in that time, in that place, in that tradition was that if one party broke their promise, they had to forfeit their life. Yeah. Do or die. That's why when God said, My covenant that they broke, it must have hit the children of Israel like a ton of bricks. If they were honest with themselves, they already knew that they had betrayed God in so many ways. But that's the kind of thing you want to hide if you can. Except that God knows. You can't keep a secret from Him. And that God had said this out loud. They had disobeyed Him. They had flaunted His mercies. They had done their own thing. They were so much like us. They didn't manage the do part. So what should have followed was the die part. But that's not what God did, not exactly. The die part was still there. It would always be. That's the nature of a covenant. Both sides must keep their side of the bargain, or else. But God is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Our God has done wonderful things to keep us safe, to keep us from what we deserve. About 400 years before, God had made a covenant with Abraham. God said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought these things, cut them in half, and laid them over against each other. This sacrifice, the spilled blood of animals, was to mark the importance of this covenant between God and Abraham. The next step in the tradition was that the two parties were to walk together between the slain carcasses to seal the promise to each other. But Abraham fell into a deep sleep. A dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then, when the sun had gone down, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. You see, God passed alone between the sacrifice. God alone walked the bloody path while Abraham slept. God took all the risk of that covenant with Abraham. Now, if someone broke their promise, it would be God who would owe his life. The covenant in the text was not the same one made with Abraham. It was a covenant with the house of Israel. God made it with the people he freed from slavery in Egypt after they had crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. It was after they had lived in miracles for a while. It was after they had reason upon reason to trust God. He had sustained them in the wilderness and brought them to Mount Sinai. And there God made a covenant with them. And again, it was sealed with the blood of animals. But that wasn't enough. A covenant that depends on keeping the law simply wasn't going to work with a broken people like them or like us. So our Father, who loves us, declared a new covenant. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers. No, that one, the covenant they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. That one was not enough. So God told them, "I will put my law within you. I will write it on your hearts, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people." Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? But how could that even work? We have shown again and again that we are weak and unpredictable. Sins haunt us night and day. We have loved ourselves more than those around us. How often do we need to be reminded to turn back to our Savior? Remember God's covenant with Abraham? How God walked alone down the bloody path to seal the promise? He did it again. He did it finally, completely. He did it again on that day he gave up his life to save yours. The innocent Son of God took the blame for your sins, all of them. Jesus went to the cross, and there, in those few hours, he took the blame for all our sins. We had broken the covenant. We had hated our neighbors. We had wanted the things of this world. We had turned away from God. And Jesus paid for it with his life. Can you take that in? The creator and sustainer of the universe, the little baby, the boy in the temple, the carpenter, the teacher, the healer, the Son of God. He had every right to demand our execution for all the things we've done against him and to hurt the ones he loves. Instead, he calls us his bride. He didn't make us his slaves. He doesn't demand our servitude. No, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to take us home, where we belong. He prepared for us our homecoming. He pours out his Spirit on us. He puts his law within us. He writes his law on our hearts. New hearts, hearts of flesh, hearts softened and transformed by the Holy Spirit. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, with his Spirit within us, we live as his people with a clear conscience before God. We live as his people, his bride, living and walking in the light of his salvation, turning to him, serving him, imitating him in love, and like him, serving our neighbors. Amen.